with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everybody, to the Movie Night Podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined as always by my host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie and talk about it with a special guest because our schedules are pretty wide open and that's all we've got going on.
Yes. And this week, we have a very special guest. Actually, you know, the three people in this room, well, there's four, but the three podcast people, we're all a part of a sketch group. We sometimes do some things, and our guest is a part of that sketch group. He's hilarious, a great actor, great comedian, great friend. And I actually, my wardrobe is inspired by him today. I saw him on Sunday at the special taping, and I told him, I'm gonna assemble this same outfit you have on.
Oh, this is what he was wearing on Sunday?
Yeah, he was wearing a blue blazer.
I was sat next
pants.
To him. I guess I wasn't paying that much attention.
The only thing is, I don't have a V-neck.
You should have cut it. You got to commit, Dwayne.
I should have cut it, yeah.
And, it's all about the V-neck.
Yeah. I didn't want to go quite as deep as your V-neck. Anyway, this guy's hilarious. Please welcome my good friend, Jeff McKinnon.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. I am Jeff, as I said.
How's it going, man?
Dude, I'm good, man. And I have to say, Dwayne, I am honored that you would actually find any inspiration for my wardrobe, because everything you wear looks amazing. Like, now... Like, I feel like I can't wear that outfit anymore.
No. You were rocking it well. So I wouldn't do that.
If we did that, who wore it better, I lose every time. It doesn't matter, Dwayne.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I know, I don't think either one of you is going to talk about how awesome my superhero t-shirt is.
TK, you're out of the race.
I'm just failing the wardrobe game. Like, I'm married. I don't fucking need
that. You're good money now.
This is Target. Yeah. Target, baby. Head
get
to
yourself
toe.
Get yourself a blazer, yeah. TK. Get in the game.
I don't know. Yeah. What's going on, Jeff? What have you been up to, man?
Mainly attending Dwayne's special taping.
We did. And, we all went to that on Sunday. It was great.
Yeah, thank you for coming, guys.
Fantastic. It was,
for those of you who are listening, if you were not there, you're dead to us.
Absolutely.
but look out for Dwayne's special some point this year.
The world
really good.
Should be excited, because that it was excellent. For as long as you spoke into that microphone,
I was
enthralled. And
I appreciate it.
Yes. I will say this. I noticed, without noticing, that you went probably the first 40, 45 minutes before you ever said fuck.
Yeah. And in fact,
I did. I totally noticed that.
In fact, well, I don't curse too much.
I know you don't really. That I think that's why I notice it so quickly, because you don't very often.
And why, on behalf of all of us, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. I really rely on that shit. And
clean and
being
clever.
All, I don't like it.
And interesting without fuck.
So people were like, "Can I bring my kids?" And I was like, well, there's going to be 3 F-bombs.
No, those are very calculated.
Like, I told them,
like that.
The first F-bomb's at about 40 minutes, so I don't know if that's going to be a problem. And they were like, oh, that's okay. Like, I told them how many F-bombs.
Were there any kids
there?
3
is fine.
First show they were. Second show, maybe. First show there was like a 5-year-old in the front row. Yeah.
In the front row.
That was me.
That's a dangerous game.
That was me. I told my girlfriend I shouldn't shave.
Stop dressing so adorable.
But I did
my husky blazer.
And I did, this won't make sense to people who are not comics, but I did riff a line, and because I riffed the line, I'm a little dirtier when I riff, you know, and I'm just making stuff up on the spot.
Yeah.
So I said the word ass. Because I riffed the line about looking at girls. So, like, even if you're holding your firstborn child and a girl with a fat ass walks by,
you're just gonna. That was great. It was really funny.
You have to just look. Even though this is the most beautiful thing you've ever held, you still gotta.
But now you said,
son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. Now because you said ass,
can you
no one is going to watch it.
Right.
We're going to have to put a parental guidance sticker on this episode of the podcast.
Unsellable.
Jesus
unsellable.
Christ.
Right. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But genuinely, that was, I really thought that was a great special. And I'm excited. I can't believe that's your first one.
Yeah. I have a half hour Comedy Central Presents that I did many moons ago.
Dwayne, I don't want to make you feel weird. I watched that when I was in high school before I ever met you. And
people,
I'm not kidding.
You want to make them feel weird. Tell them you were naked.
I get that. Yeah.
That goes without saying.
No, you know, it's where does the time go? You know, you look up and boom. And I get that
and
now.
You look up and you look exactly the same as you did in that special.
You
what
beautiful
are you doing?
Bastard.
This dude just ate a bag of McDonald's.
I did.
And
I
he
did.
Looks 15.
I did. Well, you know, it's very... Here's the thing. People see me eat McDonald's, and they say that. They go, you can eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
But they don't see me eating the steamed spinach.
Yeah. No, I know. Dwayne is extremely healthy. I don't think McDonald's is the norm.
No. I was cold today. Whenever I get cold, I just hot chocolate, bad food,
yeah.
or soup. I didn't have time to get some pho. It's P-H-O, but it's pronounced pho.
Yeah. It's just phenomenal.
I've been to Vietnam.
Yeah, I'm sure there's already a restaurant with that name.
Phenomenal.
A lot of pho puns going
everything.
Around this town.
But pho, too. Like, pho,
you
get
know
about
the,
it.
That's the worst one. Yeah. 9021 pho.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you. That doesn't make any sense. Stop encouraging people to pronounce it incorrectly.
Right, exactly.
And if there's any place that charges more than $10 for pho, it's that place. And
fuck you, because
it costs you like 30 cents
to
make pho.
Completely.
I don't know how we started yelling about pho, but... Jeff,
that was really what I that's Jeff, all I have written down
Jeff
on
just
here.
Came here to talk about Dwayne's special and soup. Jeff, you mentioned to me the other day actually you were just in Africa.
Yes, I did. I was just in Tanzania.
That's great.
So can we fucking talk about that instead of soup? What were you doing in Africa? How was it? What'd you do? You climbed a fucking mountain, like a man's mountain?
Goddamn right I did.
Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro. Yes. Jesus Christ.
I climbed Kilimanjaro, which I would have to say, and this is not like a humble... brag or
it's
anything
just
like
an
that.
Actual brag.
It's it's not that difficult. It's like
I mean, you're walking uphill.
Let me just say, it's not like you're scaling. It wasn't cliffhanger. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and
right,
it was
right.
like it's a path. I have guides, and if you want to look at what's
he rode a Sherpa most of the way. He was piggybacked up Kilimanjaro.
Right. That's how good these guys were. Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. All of your Sherpas that take all your stuff, like you're carrying a day pack. All right, like you. You have just enough.
Just
like,
a wallet.
If it rains, I've got a poncho and I've got gloves in case it gets chilly.
These guys are carrying a portable bathroom. They're carrying a full kitchen, like a full like cook's setup.
Right. A portable bathroom.
Yeah.
Isn't the wilderness a bathroom?
Yes, it is. But we paid the extra money to have a portable bathroom, which I wish I could take
you
back.
Fucking...
Because
that is a very first world way of climbing a mountain.
He had a Sherpa with a porter potty on his back.
You have no idea. This is how first world, like, my family was acting, where there was a tiny little, like, crack on the side of that bathroom. And, like, it's, like, basically a cooler that you shit into. And and there's a guy who hauls it up the mountain for you. Stop by stop, camp to camp.
Is he emptying it out? Like,
yeah, I assume. I don't know where or how, but
he's keeping it.
He sells it all later. Yeah, they turn it into souvenirs. They sell your shit
fuel.
Right back to you.
Yeah, they burn it later on.
Yeah. Right. But like, there was a tiny crack, and like some of it would like leak out of the sides, and like, you know, my aunts and my mother were like, "We are not using that. This is
our
disgusting."
Shit bucket is cracked.
Somebody's hauling that every single day. Yeah.
Well, here's the
without
problem
complaint.
Too. It was the reason why. Like, if the reason they didn't want to use it was the reason they didn't want to use it because it's cracked and we're better than that. As opposed to, you know, that guy's got to move that shit for us, and there's a crack in it.
Right.
And you know, it might get on him.
It's gonna drip on him. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm used to it. It doesn't matter. Wait, so this
can
was,
you wipe our shit off before you
this
put
was
it
a,
down?
This is a family affair. How many people did you climb with?
I climbed with let's see, my sister, her not fiance, but long term boyfriend.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Get on it, Conrad. 3.5 years. Anyways, my parents, both my mom and dad climbed. A couple of uncles, a couple of cousins. It was all, like, our group is about 9 people.
That's
all,
great. Like,
all from my family.
Who proposes
did
that
ever...
idea? How does the family decide?
Well, my sister actually proposed it. My sister just turned 30. My mom just turned 50. And my dad just beat prostate cancer. So it was like, you know, hey, how about a big celebration? And I exist. So
I've done nothing. You shouldn't have been invited. Did everyone make it through the mountain climb? Did no frozen carcasses up on the mountain?
Well, that's the sad part. You get to Kilimanjaro, you find that like a lot of it is melted. A lot of those polar ice caps have melted.
Oh,
there's
wow.
still glaciers up there, but not nearly what used to be there. And only my little cousin didn't. Little cousin, he's 22, but he didn't make it.
He's dead.
Yes. Because he annoyed the shit out of me and I killed him. When you get up above the first camp, it's 18,800 feet. It's the first summit. And then the final summit, 19,200, which sounds where you're like, eh, big deal. And then you get up there and like I was up there for more than 30 minutes and I vomited all the way down the mountain.
Oh, yeah. It's super hard to breathe. It's strange.
And meanwhile,
it hits you hard.
Yeah. I'm looking at a group of Italian guys just smoking cigarettes all like nonchalant.
Look at this American pussy.
Turns out if you want to climb a mountain, you don't train, you just get addicted to cigarettes, and that's that's apparently
they already can't breathe.
They have limited lung capacity. Yeah. They already know how
that's
to
just
done,
how they live their life.
Dude, that's it was crazy.
That's really
crazy.
Cool, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Now I feel like I wish we did some movie like Into the Wild or some shit.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We didn't.
We did Well, it's kind of cool, like, to go from that to the kind of stuff we consume here in America. Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
This is a movie, 2004, starring Lindsay Lohan, directed by Mark Waters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else he's done. Mm-hmm. Rachel McAdams, Tina Fey, she wrote the screenplay based on the book. Tim Meadows, who I really dug.
He was really funny in this.
Now, I know this wasn't climbing Kilimanjaro, but what'd you think of this movie, Jeff?
Well, I mean, God, this is a very long movie when you have to pause it every 10 minutes to masturbate. You know what I mean? It's just...
That's great.
And I feel no guilt because they're all adult women playing high school girls.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
There's a lot of inner turmoil as a viewer, especially like you're watching this with a female, and it's like, let's sit here and pretend like these aren't the hottest high schoolers ever to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? When Rachel McAdams, who I think is a goddess, is like third or fourth.
Really going out on a limb there.
I mean, do you not think so?
No, that was a joke, Jeff.
Oh,
it was,
okay. TK, I don't know what your taste is.
Right.
I know.
I'm more of a Tim Meadows guy.
Yeah. He is the ladies' man. You know, but she didn't look. Usually, she's like number one, like The Notebook or Red Eye or whatever else she's been in. It's like, damn, she's banging. But in this one, I was all about Lacey Chabert.
I like that you said it
Lacey
like that.
Chabert.
I got very uncomfortable. I mean, look, they all look amazing in this movie, but I don't think that's what it's about.
Was there a plot? I didn't really. I didn't have the sound on the whole time.
I had never seen this movie all the way through. I'd seen like bits and pieces of it. My wife yelled at me for that, and she was right. It's fucking hilarious. It's,
you know,
like I always hear how funny this movie is, and I've never. I don't think I'm their target, but. So fucking funny.
Well, you
super
know
funny.
I,
super funny, yeah. You,
I found myself saying about it, I was like, it's actually really funny. Like,
yeah.
I say it
so
in,
you're
that
just
tone,
a piece of
in
that shit.
Tone. Like, as if I'm so progressive. Like, a lady wrote it.
Tina
Fey. Like, it's funny girl.
It's like when people say to me, you speak well.
Yeah.
For a black person, you speak well.
I say that to Dwayne all the time.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean, though. I think... And not necessarily because Tina Fey wrote it. She's fucking hilarious, and 30 Rock's amazing. This story, though, it's not for us.
Right.
You know,
but the throwaway lines.
Speak
are
for
great.
Yourself.
I mean, but it fucking works.
The
like
throwaway
it's just
lines,
so well written.
Like when that guy goes, "Danny DeVito, I love you." Know, like,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just that guy is hilarious too.
Very good.
The tall.
He was
gay gentleman.
The tall gay gentleman, Daniel Francese.
Yeah,
he was super funny.
He was
everybody.
Really,
I mean, the whole cast.
Oh, that guy.
There was nobody. I think there was no one in this movie that gave like a less than stellar performance, except maybe like Lindsay Lohan was easily the least funny.
Right.
But I think she was supposed
to
be. She was not meant to be funny.
I mean, TK, she was doing all the heavy lifting. This is a very intense drama. She had to be in the zone. I thought that it was, it's that its genre is not for us. Like,
yeah.
If you look at the cover, I would not pick up this movie without knowing the pedigree.
As far as, you know, identifying particularly with the details and ins and outs of the story, it's like, as a guy, you don't identify with it too much, and the guys in this movie are very ancillary. They don't matter too much.
Right.
But goddamn, are they good looking.
Everyone.
More eye candy for me.
But that's the thing. The genre is not for us, but you feel like a lot of the jokes were. It's like a cartoon where
it's just a it's fucking for the funny kids, comedy.
But they throw out a bunch of adult jokes for the, like, hey, we know parents are out there.
Oh yeah, I mean it's very smart humor. Yeah, a lot of really smart humor.
Oh yeah. I mean Tina Fey's whole character is like, I don't know how a teenager ever relates to this sad sack divorcee.
I think my favorite thing ever was that where did she work at fucking like PJ Shenanigans or shit
with
like
the like a Fridays basically.
Oh, just and, the saddest, like, and you know, like teachers don't get paid enough, so you know, like, that's a real possibility. Yeah, she runs job. Into her students in the mall and she's like, well, this has been thoroughly uncomfortable, I mean, get the hell out of here.
You know, my favorite is was Amy Poehler as the cool mom.
She fucking stole this movie.
Yeah, that was
made you guys cocktails. I mean, not that there's any alcohol, but if you are gonna drink, do it in the house. Like, I knew that woman.
Yeah, everybody. I think she played it so perfectly, where everybody knows the irresponsible mom who wanted to be cool. She wanted to dress like her daughter.
Right, right.
But it was like she was so wildly inappropriate, but like, but not over the top about it.
And from a story standpoint, you know, this is not the kind of movie you should really dissect too heavily, but you need her to be like that way for the Rachel McAdams character to work. Because otherwise you're like, this girl is just clearly a bitch.
Oh, yeah, but she's just the product of the shittiest upbringing.
Right, and then you see her mom, you go, oh, I get it.
I like that she took her parents' bedroom.
Yeah,
she said this used to be my parents' room, but I made them trade me for it. And you know, like she just fucking owns everything because her parents are useless.
And I love these kind of movies because as a New Yorker, I don't relate to them at all. Like, it's sort of like I'm a fly on the wall because when we go to high school and especially in Brooklyn, like half the high schools don't have football teams. Probably, you take the train to school, so like you just get on a subway with adults and you just. With your backpack and you just go to school and
this is a very small town high school experience.
There's cliques, but the cliques aren't like that. And anyone will fight anyone else, so that kind of levels everything too. Like,
what sounds terrifying.
What we call cliques, he calls gangs.
Everyone will fight everyone else, and they do.
Dwayne, did you go to a PS?
But that kind of but that kind of normalizes things.
Yeah,
you know, because it's sort of like
it evens the playing field.
Yeah, you get these guys are the jocks and these guys are the this, but at the same time. That nerd might be packing.
Mm-hmm. Packing a lunch, right? Is that what
in New York City high schools, before the school shootings,
right.
We had school shootings, but never like a guy would come in and shoot up the whole school. It was always like...
It was just one guy shot another guy.
You had a problem with. Yeah.
I came here to shoot you. I shot you. Mission accomplished. Right.
Now I'm going to drop out of school
Not
or
making any kind of social statement.
No. Just I had problems with that guy. That's how, you know... So
but
we
the
had,
suburban kids can afford so many more bullets.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? I went to high school like 20 minutes down the street from Columbine when Columbine happened.
Yeah.
And so I mean, this was... I actually watched Mean Girls going like, well, which one of these kids is going to blast the other one? Like, it would be like Lizzie Kaplan.
See, that's that's the thing, though, is like with the... When you take this is all about the girls' experience in high school.
Right.
The guys' experience, so different from the way that these girls messed with each other.
Yeah.
But the guys, it's like at its worst, way worse.
Yeah.
But at its normal, not nearly as bad. Like the average, I think, male interaction in high school is not nearly as vicious as some of the things that go on with girls.
Not the mental warfare
but,
part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. But at its worst, we get real fucked up. We can fuck up a dude like beyond repair to where he shows up with...
Dude, you know, I'm surprised that girls aren't, like, high school girls aren't doing school shootings because, like, girls break each other down so hardcore. Like, my sister... Yeah. She was her sophomore year in high school. She had a group of friends who I also was friends with, and they used to party at this one girl's house. And she was of the cool mom situation where her mom was actually like bringing them alcohol and weed. And then there was rumors that she was like sleeping with all the guys and all that stuff.
So she was awesome.
That's a solid mom right there. Yeah.
She also looked a lot like Rosie O'Donnell on a bad day. So, I mean, take it for what it is.
I'm hearing
high school student. Yeah.
Take what you can get. But the crazy thing was like she, what winds up happening is, one of the parents of the guys went to the cops because those rumors actually were valid. They went to my sister. The cops came to my sister.
Did she knock out on him?
She had to.
Oh.
She had
that too.
Oh, boy.
And then and then they terrorized her for 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, I think, though, that's the fact that no girls are the ones showing up to school with guns. That's just... I don't think women have the capacity. They're not the monsters that we are. Like,
right, but, they're monsters in a different way.
Yes, but a much more subtle way.
Because what goes down in this movie is pretty. It's pretty intense. Like,
oh, it's brutal. Like, yeah. I mean,
dude, the riot scene where Tim Meadows grabs a bat.
Well, that was.
And I love the scene. I love when they step away from the underage girls.
Oh my God,
that was great.
Dude, that whole coach thing, I was like, that was where I was like, damn, this movie is...
They're not fucking her. They don't pull any punches. They're like, they're really making light of this gym teacher hooking up with two different underage girls. But it's funny, though, because then it's almost always the flip side when it comes to that, where it's the female teacher hooking up with the boys.
Now, that coach was, he was hooking up with two Asian ladies. Dwayne, was that who you identified with?
That's funny.
And yes, it was. Let's get to these questions. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about gym teachers hooking up with young Asian girls all day.
That's all I want to talk about.
But we got to get to the questions. First one, we do this one a lot. And this one, I think, applies well to this movie, especially because it is realistic mostly in human interaction. A lot of this stuff really happens. So take a life lesson from it. You watch this movie. What did it teach you? How would you live your life differently after seeing this? What do you think, Jeff?
Can I go second?
Oh, yeah. I'll go first, yeah.
Jeff didn't do his homework. Yeah. It's a movie about high school, Jeff.
I thought all these questions were optional. No.
No, they are. They are.
It's extra credit. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if this is a good lesson, but because of my dealings with people as adults, you know, I think my lesson is people never evolve after high school. They just learn to hide it better. So, like, if you could break down who's who, like, if you can make every situation high school, like, okay, like, you walk into a room, okay, this is high school, then boom, the dynamics of
they
that
still
room
fit that
will become clear. So
I feel like, I mean, for me, I didn't go too off the beaten path. We kind of already covered it, but I just took from this that girls have it fucking terrible. It's like being a girl in high school, based on this movie, and based on real shit that you've heard, like what you said about your sister, mm-hmm. what you witness as a dude, it's a level of, like, just mind-fucking espionage that, like, they're just so much more advanced at that young age at knowing how to really fuck with somebody, where guys are just fucking dumb, and, like, if a big idiot guy doesn't like somebody, he beats him up, and he tortures him in that sense. But it's, like, you can... just the women... I'm terrified of all of them.
You should have been before.
Especially a really popular high school girl. Oh, like, is there anyone fucking scarier?
But, like, the teachers were afraid of her. Like,
yeah. But, and, like, and you should be, because, like, you know, especially in the position of a teacher where you're like, you see this from the vantage point of an adult. And you're like, this person really is a piece of shit. But also, I can't say that. Like, I can't do anything about it.
But the alpha woman is, like, the alpha male is... It's always, like you said, he just beats up the other guy
dumb.
Yeah, and it can change too. Like, like, you're the alpha male, but then that guy gets into Harvard or something. But the alpha female, it's like, she's the best looking girl, and that's just it. And that's not going to change.
But you know what's great? What's great, Justice, and it plays out because, you know, show business is high school. And,
yes, absolutely.
You've got all the best looking girls who've never been told no. And, you know, they know that they're the best looking girls. Treat us all like shit. And let's just all, like, sit around and wait till they turn 33 and be like, doesn't life suck now?
Hollywood's done with it.
You didn't develop a personality, and nobody likes you, and all you relied upon were your looks, and now you are nowhere.
The bitterness is dripping from Jeff's microphone.
Jeff, but you need to sort of keep going with that logic. Then what happens?
Then I turn 40.
No, I thought you were going to say you boned them. Is that?
Oh, where yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. When they're all beat down.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. That's what I was hoping to hear. Yeah. Okay.
Jeff swoops in on their lowest point.
Well, we kind of already started this one, but let's talk about that. The second question, which I think is a great one. Dwayne came up with, if LA is high school, and it is, what social class are you in? So, Jeff, we just got a little perspective about where you feel you are.
Especially in high school. Maybe now it's different.
Yeah. They call me the street sweeper.
So, where do you land in the high school class? Or where do you feel comedians generally land?
Well, comedians feel like the burnout crew.
There was
a crew at my high school that it was called Smokers Hill, and they were just all like these acerbic cigarette smoking antisocial to everybody else, but to each other so tight. I think that's comedians. Like, we're kind of like, we don't care if you approve of what we do or say. Yeah. We know we're better than you. And Smoker's Hill was elevated over West
just lurking down on you.
Really. Yeah, they looked like vultures, like cigarette smoking vultures.
But what's interesting about that is I feel like New York comedy scene is that even more than the LA comedy scene.
Yeah.
Like, the LA comedy scene is that, but because we're doing comedy, we're in acting class, some of us are trying to get laid.
Yeah, I mean, you're surrounded by...
We're drinking wheatgrass. Like, it's sort of like we have one foot in the, I'm better than you, and one foot, like, just solidly in the whole thing. That's what Jay Davis comedy rooms are about. Like, it starts out Revenge of the Nerds, right? It's the comics who are the nerds performing for all the hot kids, and we're better, we're funnier.
Right.
Then the nerds are like, then the hot people are like, yeah, but we're still hot. and then the comics at the end of the show are trying to get laid, and it just goes right back.
No,
to...
I agree completely. I think in LA, comedians are like the floaters, where it's like they kind of get along with all the groups, but don't necessarily belong to anyone in particular. And I think like actors and musicians here they're like the alphas. They are the most popular, but we're like not far enough below them that anybody's trying to kick our asses.
And writers and directors are the faculty who sleep with the students.
That's absolutely true.
That's really crazy, because that means, like, I am, now that I think about it, I am playing out what I was in high school in my career, because, like, I don't fit into a clique. Like, if comedians are a clique, I'm not fully in it. And if actors are a clique, I'm not fully in it. But I'm friends with all of them.
Same thing.
I feel like a lot of comics in general to describe high school as that, because you're funny enough to get by with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
To get along with people, to get out of situations where someone might want to kick your ass, or sometimes it causes them to want to kick your ass. But I feel like you're able to navigate between groups because of your sense of humor.
Literally in high school, I kid you not, I would start eating with like kind of the nerds. I went to a small public school, but like the guys in my AP math classes, we would sit down and eat, white guys. And I would eat. I ate with them.
You sat down and ate white guys?
Yeah, right.
This school is fine.
Is this where you developed your fetish for Asian ladies?
I don't know.
AP math.
You know what happened was an Asian girl did go to my high school. Okay,
just one?
More than one, but she left. She moved to Staten Island, and then she just wanted to be a pen pals with me for some reason.
Pen pals?
Yeah, she just started writing me letters. So, what I'm saying.
Writing
you
letters.
Dwayne.
This is when Dwayne went to high school.
It's both ways. All I'm saying is it's both ways. I just said writing letters. Okay,
writing letters from Staten Island to Brooklyn. There's a fucking bridge that connects them.
But the toll is so expensive.
Oh, no, it is.
Yeah, she'd go down to the post office and get that 5-cent stamp and
hand it to the man on the horseback.
Right.
He'd ride many moons to get to you.
So I eat with these kids, like three or four of them, like small school. And then I would literally say, hey, okay, guys, every day, eat with them and then go over to the black table. And then I'd rap with them. We'd freestyle rap, snap on each other. But I always started my meal with my nerd friends.
You're man of the people.
And then I would just get up and walk to the black table.
You did like a lunch tour.
Yeah, right.
It's a politician. He's going around shaking hands, kissing babies.
Yeah.
It's been great, guys. I got to go freestyle.
let's try to squeeze in one more. Which one do you want to do, Dwayne?
Let me see. My computer froze up. By the way, if LA's a high school, I'm Ferris Bueller. Okay, I just wanted to say that.
Just the coolest dude that everyone loves.
Can I say one thing? I will say, as far as the lesson goes, and this isn't a funny lesson, but I think that Mean Girls does tell girls, or tell everybody, that people just want to be liked. and they just want to be respected. Like, you know, that it, like, the assume anything about anybody is doing both you and them a disservice.
So, absolutely.
Like, you know, all these cliques, it's like, nah, they can get along. Yeah, yeah. Like, even Lacey Chabert learned Asian, like, right, 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 Korean, right. I think, at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think this is a comedy that has, like, a very real and true lesson to it, which is rare for a movie that gets as ridiculous as this does at some points, to have, like, a genuine heart to it.
Right, and not a force-fed lesson, but a real lesson.
Like, a real lesson in a movie that its climax is when a girl gets hit by a bus.
Oh. Right,
so,
right,
like,
right, right.
It's on its
interestingly,
face.
Interestingly, I climaxed many times before the bus. But, you know, I would say that, like, especially since it seems like, and this is three fellas talking about this, but feminism is, seems to be very complicated. It always has been complicated, but especially now where it's like, you know, there's a division internally of the female gender of, like, is putting your boobs on Instagram really that big a deal, or is that feminism, or is you know, is Miley Cyrus a feminist, or is she not? Is she, you know, like, it seems like this movie actually kind of tackles the complexities of, like, not every female has the same definition of what it means to be feminine,
but if they can
they're all right.
And here's the thing about feminism, which, like you said, three guys talking about it, we're not super qualified, but it felt like at the end of the day...
super qualified.
Speak for yourself, Dwayne.
It just felt like...
I'm just going to stay quiet.
But at the end of the day, if they can respect each other, it's not even about us, right? Like, it's not about men. It's about them. Because if they don't judge each other, then we can't judge them.
Well, exactly.
And that's the issue. Yeah.
And especially that age group, too.
Right,
like,
right.
I think some of the comedy in this movie, I think, is above that age group.
Oh, completely,
But the movie itself, that kind of is a big target audience for them. And I think, like, if you see this as a high schooler, you probably realize, like, oh, I'm being pretty shitty to people.
Right.
And let me say about that age group, everybody talks about how, like, attractive high school girls are. Have you ever actually looked at a high school girl?
It's
not really, they're not quite there yet.
It, like, depends on what city you're
Jeff's
in.
Jeff's been looking really hard.
I'm just putting it out there.
Well, you're hiding behind a bush at the high school. Let me explain something to you. I'm sorry.
I've done, you know, this is the worst way to segue into this, but I've been around, like, I work with kids, I tutor.
I have looked closely, they're not as hot as you want them to be.
I'm just saying, I don't know where this idea, they're still not quite there. None of them are. I don't care who.
Right, but listen, it's like a first round draft pick. In the NBA, they're not there.
It's all potential.
You're paying for the upside. Yeah, they're skinny, but they can dunk from the free throw line. So it's like, come on.
Look, I'm just going to take a hardline stance. I don't understand pedophilia. Now, I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I just don't get it.
It's really big of you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff drives home the hard points.
Well, I think that's good.
let's wrap it up on that. Jeff, thanks so much for being here, man. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Anytime you guys want to close out on a pedophilia riff, come back.
Anything you got coming up? Anything you want to promote? Twitter? Anything like that?
About a year and a half ago, I taped a special that was pretty fetch. It's called Special with an exclamation point. It has sold to, not sure yet, but we're, look out for that. That's going to be in this calendar year. I'm at Wicked Comedy on Twitter. I tweet. You can tweet at me. And we can tweet together. You can retweet.
Tweet at Jeff.
That's it. Recycled Babies, we do sketches sometimes.
Emphatic.
Don't want to oversell it.
Right.
JeffMcKinnon.org for all outdated information about me.
Sweet. You know, my thing, FunnyDP, is the Twitter handle. I just recently taped my hour special. You can still pre-order it. Go to my website for the details and help the Indiegogo campaign that we raised enough money, I feel, but a little bit more would always be good, a little cushion. And look for that. That's going to hopefully land somewhere as well.
And that the Indiegogo, let them know what that goes towards.
Indiegogo goes towards the cost of making the special. If it's below the cost, then I come out of pocket. If it's above, if we raise more than the cost, anything extra goes toward this...
McDonald's.
A feature film me and my partners are doing in April called Dying to Kill, about a stand-up comic who gets kidnapped by a fan and has four chances to make the fan laugh. And each time he fails, someone dies.
Ooh. Yes. Man, TK.
Sound really lighthearted.
Yes.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. If you're in LA, come see me at the Improv on Tuesday the 20th at 10, or come to the Virgil the last Tuesday of every month for Warp Zone Comedy. Jeff, thanks again for being here, man.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.